All right. If you turn with me to John chapter 15, we have been continuing on John chapter 15, abiding in Christ. And verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We saw that very clearly last week. Without God, we are utterly helpless. We saw the power of God last week, right? Now, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, that they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Praise the Lord for the scriptures. As we are seeing, just to recap, in a nutshell, we see it's a beautiful metaphor of the church and Christ here. Christ is the vine, and the church is the church. Okay. Now, the church, it doesn't mean the church is not a building. Okay, we all know the church are the people that come to worship the true living God. All right, and we see here there are two branches. There are no three branches. There are only two branches. One branch that is not bearing fruits, and the other branch that bears fruit, that is in Christ and also Christ in them. So they are the true Christians. Okay. And so it's very clear. And we need to understand, the branch that does not bear fruits, God doesn't need them. And it is said that those branches are cut down, thrown into the fire, as going to be the lake of fire or hell, that there will be gnashing of teeth. All right? So, but the branch that bears fruit, it says that very clearly, in the branches that bears fruit, God is glorified. Father is glorified. And also he says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved them. If you keep my commandments. And these branches, there's a great love. And we saw the other day that when you say in Christ, it means, whenever you say in Christ, it means a union with Christ. It means a relationship with Christ. So the fruits that are the one branch that bearing fruits, they have a union, a relationship with Christ. Without Christ, we cannot bear fruits. Without Christ, we cannot do anything. So all in Christ. Now, so it's so important for us to remember that it is important that we need to surrender and submit to God's word, to his will. And the branches that is bearing fruit, that person is a different person. Fruit, when you see somebody is bearing fruits, that means a different behavior. That person is a changed person. The word fruit means that these are spiritual fruits, okay? That means the conduct is different, the behavior is different, the way he thinks is different, the way he talks is different. So there is a different behavior. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man in Christ, We saw the word in Christ means having a union with Christ, a relationship with Christ. He's a new person. Okay? He's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, we saw in the book of Psalm 1, the spiritual fruits, the tree that is close to the river or to the, you know, stream bears a lot of fruits, right? Psalm 1, the one we read today. And if you see in Luke chapter 3, verse 7, the Baptist is baptizing people, and the multitude, verse 7 said, then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, he said, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? This is a welcome to the people. Okay? Not like today's preachers, okay? And he straight away gave to the point, straight away told them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say for yourself, we have Abraham as our father. I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And here people are depending, trusting in religion, trusting in their sacraments, trusting in their church, or trusting in somebody else. Okay, trusting because they have a picture of Jesus, or trusting because, oh, I'm a religious person, so and so. That's what the Jews were trusting in. And John said that, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Now, if you are truly repented, you're a new person, there will be a change of life. The new fruits coming. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. I know we have been there before, but I just want to go through some of these, the change of life. Galatians chapter 5, 19. Can see the two different branches here. Okay, I say there are only two branches, right? Two different branches are here. Now, one branch starts with verse 19. These are the verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Now, this is one of the branches that is not producing good spiritual fruit for God. It's not for God's glory. As the branch, God doesn't need them. God is going to cut that branch, put it in the fire. Now, let's go a little bit. Idolatry. Idolatry is anything that you worship more than God. It's an idolatry. It could be an image, it could be a sports star, it could be your car, it could be anything that you put in between you and God is idolatry. Sorcery. I think I'm going a little bit before. Adultery, fornication, you know what is fornication. Uncleanliness. Uncleanliness is anything morally impure. All right? Then the next one is lewdness. Some of your Bibles might say lasciviousness. It means lustful want. That means you are never satisfied. You want more and more and more and more. Lustfully, you want more and more. Sorcery. Sorcery, the word is very interesting. Some of your Bibles might say witchcraft. Okay, witchcraft is engaging with evil spirit, the Ouija board. All right, horoscopes, palm reading. And also the word sorcery, the Greek word is pharmakia, means your mind, when you take, has to do with a, pharmakia has to do with pharmacy, drugs. When you take drugs, that is mind-changing drugs, that's a sin against God. All right, let's go. Okay, we saw a hatred. The word hatred is something, not just hatred, it literally means greatly dislike somebody. You dislike somebody, great, I hate this person. And it's not good. That's not Christian. Okay, contentions means strife, quarrel, you're always looking for a fight. You know, you want to have something and love to see a people fighting. That's strife. So that's not good. That's not Christian. Then jealousies. Oh, I'll tell you this one. How many times you see somebody better looking than you and you don't like it? How many times you see somebody doing a better job than you? Somebody smarter than you? Somebody who can do something better than you and you don't like it? That's jealousy. God hates that. The next one is outbursts of wrath. It means that the word there in Greek is thermos. It means boiling anger. It means that you have a heated anger. You get suddenly so angry you cannot control yourself. How many people die because of this? You take the weapon that is closest to you and kill somebody. And you get so angry you cannot control yourself. And that your mind is, your brain is so red hot. That is not Christian. That is in the other branch now. Selfish ambitions. Wow. Today, talking about selfish ambitions, everybody is thinking about self, not any other person. I don't care what anybody else is thinking. I have to think about myself. That's the way it is. Even if you go on the road, it's me that owns the road. You know. So, dissensions is really divisions, okay? Angry words that can divide. Heresies, of course, heresies is rebellious. Its heresy is contrary to the Word of God and not truly trusting in the Word of God, something totally different. And envy, again, murderers, you know that, drunkenness, revelries. The word revelry means, it means like a rebellious, noisy parties for your own pleasure. Okay? Like for instance, you something very noisy, very pleasurable, you don't care about anybody else. And you hear, you know, we have a neighbor, sometimes we hear like in the middle of the night, around 2 o'clock, drinking and shouting and screaming. They don't care anybody else. Okay? Like big parties, people like to get into the worldly parties. They put the music so loud, they don't care whatever it is. For their own pleasure, they do that. That's revelries. And like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the other branch that has been cut and thrown into the fire. Now, you see the branch that are true Christians, that is being changed by the power of God, by the fruit of the Spirit, is love. This love doesn't mean, oh, I love this person, you know, not that kind of love. This love is sacrificial love. It's God's love. It is loves the unlovable. That is love. Joy. Joy means rejoicing, gladness. Long suffering means endurance. That means patience. That means if things come your way and you don't like it, there's pressure. It's patience. Endurance, you can suffer long suffering. These are communicable attributes of God that is being given to man. Kindness. Be kind to one another. Okay? These are good attributes. Just being kind to people and they will see Jesus in you. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control means it's not humanism. This self-control is an attribute of God that has been given to you. Okay? The power of God that is in you. Now, and those against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. See, that's the key. How can he have this? Unless all the bad things comes from the flesh. You need to crucify the flesh, its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in you, let us also walk in the Spirit. Alright. So important that I had to go through that. Now, if we continue in this study, I want to put emphasis on John chapter 15, verse 6. John 15, 6. Abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I think this is really important. This is a warning. This is not what I am saying, this is what Jesus said. So we need to take it to heart, this warning, that it's so important for us to see this. Now, the way to heaven is not through good fruits. Okay? Not through good behavior. The way to heaven is through salvation by grace. But the result of our salvation is the good conduct and good fruits. We need to understand that. Now, if we are not in Christ, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, and if you don't obey His word, see verse 9 and 10. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. Which branch is this? The Father loves. The one that bears fruits, right? Because verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, right, you shall abide in love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in love. So it's the branch that produces fruit the Father loves, because they are obedient to God's law and they keep the commandments. So there is a relationship, a love relationship between the Father, between God and us. There's a love relationship. And this love relationship is a truly love relationship, that it is based on what God has done for us and our obedience to Him. That is the relationship. For instance, wife and a husband have a love relationship. Alright? Now, if the husband is disobedient to the wife, goes for another woman, that love relationship is going to be broken. But through obedience, they trust each other and they know each other. Their love relationship is really strong. Okay? So it's what God has done for us, and in our obedience, this love relationship continues. Now, a lot of people might say, I know Christ. Okay? But does Christ know you? That's the question. You know, I know Christ. Does Christ know you? If you turn with me to Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus said, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. The word strive in Greek is literally agonize. It's not an easy way. It's been agonized to enter through the narrow gate. That means to be a Christian in this weaker world with all kinds of temptations around us, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a rose garden here. It's not the prosperity and the health and wealth gospel we are preaching. Alright? It's the true gospel. Jesus said, agonize to enter through the narrow gate. Because many, I will say to you, will try to enter, will not be able. And when, it says, verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen up, shut the door, you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. And here the people might say, I know the Lord. Say, Lord, Lord, here we are. He said, I don't know you. You know me, but I don't know you. never had a relationship, they were never in Christ at all, then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, you taught in the we went to church, we ate together, we have fellowship together, we ate and drank. Can you remember? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. That means Galatians 5:19. Depart from me. You are not in the right branch. You are never in me from the very beginning. And then Jesus goes on to say, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, yourself thrust out. Now, what do you see here? We see again the branch that is withered, and put it into the fire. So, there are only two branches, I said, not three branches. Either you're a Christian or not a Christian. If you are not a Christian, the Word of God says you are thrown into the fire to be burned. This is the everlasting punishment of hell. You might say, you know what? How can God do this? How can God do this? Listen very carefully, and I'm going to explain this. I'm going to expose this. So you will be able to understand. First of all, this is even for Christians. Now, first of all, we need to understand that God is the Creator. Why did God create the universe? Why did God create the earth, the animals, the trees, the plants, and all these things? Why did God create? Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, not for yourself. For God, everything was created, including you. So you're not created for you to do your thing. Understand? So as the Creator, he can destroy anything he wants to, because he's the Creator. God created, he has the power and the sovereign choice to destroy anything he wants to. If he sees anything that is useless, why does he have that useless thing? And he is not obliged to the creation. God has no obligations to any of us. He can do anything what he wants to according to his will. That's why during the time of Noah, God destroyed all the humans, the animals, vegetation, everything was destroyed except Noah and his family. God can destroy because of why? They were not living for God. They were useless. God destroyed them. Now, let us be more specific now. What is the purpose of creation? Let's turn to Psalm 148. It's the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. God created, God commanded, and he created everything, and now they are praising God for that creation. Okay? He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. That means we are in the earth. You great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail and snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and cedars, beasts and cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Hey, all the creation is praising God. Kings of the earth and all the peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men, maiden, old men, children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, for He has exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. God created so that we, everybody, can praise Him for the creation. Includes everything. All are created to glorify Him. Now, creation of God, so that He created us so that we will praise and glorify the Creator. When you say praise and glorify the Creator, it means that we will worship Him. That's why God created us, to worship Him. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. This is the branch that doesn't produce fruit. Because what may have known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not, what? Glorify Him as God. And it says here, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Just now we saw Psalm 148, what we ought to do. And here, Romans 1 says what people are not doing. That's why the wrath of God is being revealed upon these people. Very clear. How to glorify Him? How to glorify God? Read John chapter 15, verse 8. Is my Father glorified that you bear what? Much fruit. So you shall be my disciples. Hey, that's the way to glorify God. Bearing fruits. God is being glorified. Now, man is not an independent being, but created by God. The reason why God created man was to worship Him, serve Him, and glorify the Maker. Now, if you see the creation very carefully, there is an order in creation. Alright? The lowest of His creation is the earth. What I mean is the soil, water, the sun, the moon, and etc. That's the lowest part of His creation. Now, if you go a step higher, the next are the vegetation, plants, trees, grass, and etc. And if you go another step higher, you will see the insects, all kinds of animals, you know. Then if you go another step higher, you will see man. Now, I want you to see this picture very clearly, because this is really important. There is an order in creation, because God is not the author of confusion. The lowest creation, what I told you before, like the earth, the water, the sun, they serve the rest of the creation. You understand what I'm saying? The lowest creation, even the soil, the sun, okay, the moon, and all these things, they serve the rest of the creation. Okay, now, if not for these, we cannot live. We need them. Without the sun, you can stay. right? You cannot live. Without the oxygen, you cannot live. You need the air. Without the soil, we cannot live. So they serve us, all right? Serve the breast means even the grass and the vegetation and everything, even the animals. So the next higher is the vegetation, the plants, the trees, the grass. They serve the rest of the creation, all right? The animals, they need to, you know, they need the vegetation, the grass and the bushes and so forth like that. And so they need it. The fish, the birds, and you know, they cannot live without it. Now, when you go another step higher, the next higher creation are the animals, right? Now, the animals serve the next. Only one left, that is man, right? So the animals serve man. We eat them. Dog, you know, they can be put to work. So they serve us. Alright? Now, let's go to the last one. Man. He's the highest of the creation. All the other creations are serving man. But man is the nearest to God because he is made in the very image of God. All the other creations are inferior to man. And they are all serving God. But man is not serving God. He's not glorifying God. You see? The order. Do you see the order? Everybody, from the bottom onwards, everybody is serving the balanced creation. But when it comes to man, oh, he's so proudful. I don't want to serve anybody. So we see here that the all-wise God with infinite wisdom, he created man to serve and glorify the Creator. So Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Man was given dominion over all the rest of the creatures. Even the sun was created for you. So there will be daylight. And there will be heat. There will be energy. He created the moon and the stars for man, for seasons. God bring rain and snow. So there'll be crops, you know, so we can eat vegetables, you know, fruits. God brings, just imagine if there's no rain for 1 year. We'll be all starving. We cannot live. We will die. So God give us the rain and the sunshine, the vegetation and animals for our food. And next time when you go to a restaurant, be thankful to God. Next time you go to a grocery store, be thankful to God. Go to a restaurant and you eat a beautiful, you eat a very tasty steak. Or your wife cooks you something really tasty and you say, wow, you're a great cook, you're really good. And you should be, give the glory to God and say, I'll tell you, it's not for this meat, I can cook. And then the cow will say, hey, if not for the grass, I won't be here. And the grass will turn and say, hey, it's not for this soil, and it's not for the rain or the sun, I won't be here. So everything, you see the whole, this cycle of praises. We saw this in Psalm 148. There's a cycle here. But when it comes to man, he stops that link there. Because man doesn't want to glorify God because of pride. And he's the highest of creation. Now, think of anything that you use. Anything that you use, they are all created to serve you. You know that? Even the shoes you are wearing is from an animal skin. Even the clothes that you're wearing is to serve you, so that you will be clothed. You know what I mean? You will, your nakedness will be covered. Anything, even the house, your home, the wood is from the trees. The carpet, the stove, the refrigerator, the phone, anything. They all come from the ground, from the raw materials, the chemicals, everything. It's there to serve you. Even the rocket that went to Mars, they cannot send it without the raw materials. Right? And if they send it, then they say, everybody applauded them and say, wow, we did it. But I'll tell you, you did it. Because where did you get that stuff to do it anyway? First place. And the second place, you might think, it's because of my intelligence and because of my wisdom, alright, I did all this. I'll tell you, it's not easy to find those components. Those are very different components. The materials you had to find is to build that, okay? God created those, alright? That's number one. Number two is, who gave you the intelligence and the wisdom? Who put the brain in you? It is God. Now, so we need to praise God for everything. But do you serve God who made them for you? Now, you know, it's so important that there are many who do not thank God at all, the God who created you. You know, Psalm 139 verse 5 says, in the depth of the earth that God fashioned this body, right? And He gave you food. God has given you food. He has given you clothing. He has given a place to live. He has given some of us cars to travel. Everything given to us. Everything you touch, everything what you see, He has given to you. Are you glorifying God? Are you thanking God for that? You might say, well, I tell you, I found this job. God gave that job to you. And you might say, I earned it. I went to school. It is my hard labor that I put this food on the table. God is the one who gave you the brain to think. He's the one who gave you the hands and the feet and the mouth to speak. It is all of God. When God told Moses to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go, Moses said, I'm not a good speaker. I can't talk properly. God asked Moses, who gave you the mouth to speak? Everything is of God. We cannot take the next breath if not for God. Not all people die when they are old. No, everybody. We say, people think that they are all going to die when they are an old age, right? So they plan their future. But I tell you, God can take our breath anytime He wants to, any minute. Now, there are many who doesn't care. God has given many. In reality, if you really glorify God and praise God, that means you are really loving God. Right? You love Him for what He has given you. You love Him for what He has done for you. That's why Mark chapter 12:30, the book of Mark, Jesus said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. God is to be loved more than anyone else. That means He is your creator, and you are dependent upon Him for life. To love God with all your heart means to love God with true emotions and feelings. Okay? That means to love Him with true emotions and feelings. There's an emotional love towards God. Right? Like, for instance, it doesn't mean, now what I'm saying is that you need to love God more than your wife, more than your children, more than anybody else. It doesn't mean that, oh, now I got to love God, honey, I got to love God, okay, so that means your love is going to be less. No, nothing like that. You love your wife really with everything what you have, but you love God also. You love God more than your wife because He created you. He's the one who found a wife for you. So you love God with everything, with emotion, with all your heart, okay? Remember Apostle John at the Great Supper, how he rested his head on the breast of Jesus. He loved Him so much. Peter, he couldn't wait after the resurrection. With Jesus, zealous love. That's what I'm talking. Zealous love. With zeal, you love Him. Peter couldn't wait after the resurrection. He got to run and see the risen Messiah. Paul was so zealous that his love was so zealous. Even with persecution, he was able to preach the gospel. To love with your mind is to meditate upon God, to think upon Him intelligently, study His word. That is with the mind. Mind is your intelligence, right? Your brain. That means you meditate, you think on what you study, you think about God. When two people are in love with each other, they think about them all the time. I love Him. I can't. I think about them. That's how it is. That means you love God more than anybody else. It means that you don't love God only on Sunday. It means you don't love God only when we have fellowship together. It means God is a living God. He is not a dead God. You love the Lord with all your strength, with all your soul, with everything you have. It's a living love relationship. Now, there are many who do not love God. They love their friends. They love their husbands. They love their wives. They love their children. They love their pets. They love their cats, dogs. They love their car. They love their music. They love their clothes. Beautiful. And they love everything else. And what would God, what if you were God looking at you? You love everybody else, not the Creator. What will you do? Jesus said, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you are living for God, you are being fruitful. If you are not living for God, you are useless. Not fit for God at all. Now, there are three different places. First is, there is a place where this place is nothing but all good, and that is heaven. As another place, it is good and evil, which is the earth. And the third place is nothing but evil, that is hell. Now, if you are not living for God, not bearing fruits, you are not fit to heaven. Not fit to earth because you are not profitable for this earth. You are devouring everything in this earth. And it's serving you, but you are devouring everything. What God has given. There's only one place. You are useless. That is, the only place that is fit is where? Hell. So, when Jesus said, if a man is not going to abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather and cast them into the fire, they are burned. Do you see the whole picture now? Makes sense. But many are living in devouring God's creation, eating, drinking, gratifying their sensual desires and appetites for the flesh. The sun is laboring day by day. It's serving you. The water is serving you. When you're thirsty, there's a drink, a glass of water, right? And you want to clean yourself, you can take a shower. The vegetation is laboring and spending its strength to support you. And, you know, you get all the strength and everything. And so here we see you devour them for your support and comfort. All the other creatures are inferior to you. They glorify the Creator according to their nature. But you who are highly exalted than them are useless. Not bearing fruit at all. Not serving God. Not worshipping Him at all. Verse 8 says, Here is my Father glorified, that Father is being glorified. Everything else is glorifying Father. But not many people. They don't glorify the Father. Jesus said, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you shall be my disciples. If men do not bring fruit to God, heaven is not the proper place for them. In heaven, you find the holy God, the holy angels, and the holy men who have died. Just imagine you having fellowship with them. All this time, you are not glorifying God here at all. You are not worshipping God at all. You are not being thankful to God at all. Suddenly, you think heaven is for you, and being with the holy God and the holy angels, what kind of fellowship is that? You will feel pretty uncomfortable. Even now, there are some people, they don't want to go to Christians who are always talking about God, God, God. Always talking about scripture, scripture, scripture. Why won't they talk anything else? I feel uncomfortable. What about when you go to heaven? And it's not suitable for them. Because in heaven, what do we do in heaven? We worship God for the rest of eternity. We worship Him, we praise Him, we serve Him. And if you cannot serve Him now, and bear fruits now, and glorify Him now, how can you serve God in heaven? In Psalm chapter 5, verse 4 says, for thou art not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. So, sinners cannot live with a holy God. Amen. So, God, when He sent His Son, He did not send His Son to vegetations or to animals, but came as a man to save sinners. Sinners are people who realize they have violated God's laws. They have sinned against the Creator. Jesus took the place of the believing sinner on the cross. That when his sins and the believing sinner's sins were charged to Jesus Christ, who did not have any sins. And the holiness, the righteousness of Christ was charged or imputed to that believing sinner. And God takes that hard heart, the stone, heart of stone, and God gives a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh to repent. A heart of flesh so that he would have a thirst and hunger for the Word of God. And that you will see a change in that person. The conduct will be changed. The way he talks will be changed. And we will see all what we saw in Galatians chapter 5, how those fruits of the Spirit in that person. And these are spiritual fruits. And that's how we know that person is a Christian. There are many we cannot never say whether they are Christians or not. And some have been in the church for a long time, but there is no change. Because you know why? There's no desire for the Word. No desire to pray. They don't love the Lord. They love everything else. But I'll tell you, when you have a desire to be with the Creator, wow, God created me. And I want to be with my Creator. Just imagine, a child would love to be with the parents, right? It's nice, they feel trusted, they feel comfortable. We are children of God. If you are a child of God, you want to be with your Creator. The one who created you. And when in heaven, there's no more pain, no more tears, no more problems, no more death. Wow, how is that? No more death. Heaven is a place that is called heaven. Just like as it says. It's a place of comfort. It's a comfort. It's a place. This comfort is for eternity. It's not a place that you want to go on vacation. You go on vacation and you say, I want to just go vacation. You know, so much stressful in my job and so forth like that. I want to just get away for a while. So I will enjoy. Man, vacation is finished so quick. You got to come back to work. But when you're in heaven, you don't go back anymore. You're there forever, for eternity in comfort. Jesus said, I'm going to go to heaven. So I prepare a place for you, a mansion for you, a streets of gold. People love, you know, they look at little gold, little bit. And I'll tell you, they pay a lot of money. I'm waiting for my house. I'm waiting where I go in heaven. There's the streets of gold. Jesus, you know, just imagine, even the nature obeyed Christ. Even the nature obeyed Christ. Remember, there's a storm, right? They thought, the disciples thought they are going to be drowned and killed. And Jesus said, be still to the storm. Even the nature obeyed. Even if the nature obeys the words of Christ, how much more you should obey the word of Christ. God. Right? We have a mind and intelligence. You should obey the word of God. And if you refuse to obey, then it is that branch that has no fruits. Thrown into the fires of hell. The other side, opposite of heaven, is hell. There won't be any earth for you to live. It's hell. It's the lake of fire. Not for a short time. Hell is not a joke. Well, a lot of people think it's, you know, go to hell. No. Hell is real. And it is also for eternity. It's a place where Satan and his demons are put in the lake of fire. And all the unbelievers who doesn't trust and submit to God and doesn't thank God, doesn't glorify God, they will be with Satan and the demon. Wow, what a place to be. And they are separated from their Creator, from the living God. The reason is, they didn't have a relationship in the beginning with at all. And this is God's love story given to us. This is the best book in the whole world. this is word, then all the money that you can buy anything else, this is worth billions, more than billions and billions of dollars. This is the word of God. And I'll tell you, the price is so great that God's precious blood was shed on Calvary to purchase sinners to heaven. It is His precious blood that was shed on Calvary. Let's pray.